G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3. This week I'm joined by the one, the only, the Stefano Double Stuff Diorio.
Thanks for having me, Mel.
No worries, mate. Anytime. Now, short little episode today. We're just going to punch out some NBA. And obviously with the NBA stuff, with how fast and furious everything's flashing down, we've really got to focus in on the brackets and how things are going out in the East and the West. But we will also squeeze in a little bit of time for some basketball bacon. Got some fun stuff that's been happening out in there in the basketball world. Also, we'll have a little bit of a... Of course, we can't have an NBA episode without having some crack'em. So you're going to be okay to do that on your own this time. No Aaron, no Ant on the phone, nothing too scary.
Yeah, we'll be fine. You fix the packet beforehand anyway.
No, mate. We fresh have sealed script. Packet here from local card shopper Woolloongabba.
We have the script ready. It's okay. I'll make it. Oh,
no script. Recording. No script. Live record, mate. Live record. None of this helps his business. No way. All right. So look, let's get into it. There's lots of fire and passion and all sorts going on out west. But let's start where our teams sort of hail from in that east. And look, things are going interestingly out in the east. Let's start at the top of the bracket. I know your 76ers are already through. We'll get to them in a sec. But let's start Bucks Heat. What are you seeing out there of the Bucks Heat? Where's the real question marks?
I think that Giannis is the big question mark, and I think Giannis will define the Eastern landscape. If Giannis can come back and be healthy, then Milwaukee have every right to win that series. However, if, as we've seen the last three games, if Miami can keep playing the way they are and Giannis doesn't come back, Miami might just make it through, and that really shakes up the East in a big way because you don't have to face Giannis in the conference finals.
Yeah, they do have the issue, of course, with Capella going down and doing that. What looked to be that rather awful knee situation, he just hit with such a thud and just almost instantly knew that something wasn't right. And that, of course, sucked the air all right out of Miami Stadium. They just had nothing. Like, it was that classic thing. The game was technically over, yes, but it was a tough way for the game to finish, especially when it was just one of those unfortunate, fairly uncontested sort of moments. But yes, basically, I will agree with you on this one. I don't think that's going to happen as we finish out the East. But to start the East, obviously Giannis is that that big question mark on the series. When, if at all, can he return? And I do really love the idea, in that essence, as a Celtics fan, of the Bucks not getting knocked out. I really like that because coming into this, that were my pick because they just looked so, with everybody looking so healthy and just absolutely on fire the way they were an incredible threat. Without Giannis, it's a different situation. Now, they've still got big pieces. They can still win games without Giannis, but they're nowhere near as dominant, finals contender. You take Giannis completely out and all of a sudden...
Can they win a series is the question.
Well, yeah, at the moment, and that's the situation they're in because they're down 2-1. They go down 3-1 and...
It's an uphill
statistically,
battle.
It's incredibly difficult. But they do at the very least have that one up on the board. So.
And people also forget that Miami was on one seed last year in coming into the playoffs. So it's not like they're an inexperienced young team. Miami, as much as they're an eighth seed, and Boston, Philly, even the Knicks are better than them. I think they have that experience to make it all the way through.
They do, and never write off Jimmy Butts.
No, not sense, in the playoffs.
Take Tobias Harris over me. He will fight for everything that he's got. And obviously has done with his backstory and everything like that, but that always seems to come out at some level in the playoffs, almost always anyway. So, and we've already seen that in the last game. He had amazing stretches. Kyle Lowry, while he's not that guy anymore, he still has that wealth of experience. He's been to the top of the mountain. So, another guy that's just invaluable to the Heat team. But where it's getting a little bit spicier, let's keep it moving. Cavs Knicks.
Close the roads.
They sure did. Close the roads. I love this. They win a game. They're 3-1 up. Obviously, Knicks fans are going to go way over the top. I mean, bing bong. Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks, KD? All these sorts of things. But I do love the energy. I do love the energy.
And look, the Knicks, people really underestimated that Brunson signing. Now, if I may, I'm going to throw a few stats at you.
All right, hit me.
So Brunson, in the last 4 seconds of the shot clock, is shooting 50.9% on the season. And then the impact that he's had on his teammates. Randle went from shooting 45% overall in the field to shooting 55%. And Barrett went from shooting 44% to shooting 50%. And he's also ranked in the top six as a pick and roll ball handler. So the Brunson effect to me is just massive. And it showed last year with the Mavs, and it's showing this year with the Knicks.
Are we going any further with that? Do you want to take that any further, or are you just saying there's a big Brunson effect?
I think Brunson is, like, if you look at MVP, and if we were to change the parameters of MVP to be the most profound impact on your team, mm-hmm. along with personal success, then Brunson would definitely be in the top five. He would definitely be in that conversation, in my opinion.
Yeah, unfortunately for the MVP, stats aren't as good as narrative, which we've found over the journey. That's why you never have a three-peat repeat, like in that sub bang, 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 because it's people just get cold to the stats and those sort of things. And it's all about the narrative and this and that and the other. That's the drama with the MVP, because it's not purely, but maybe there's a ward out there that, someone could actually do, where it's, statistically driven thing of, having them actually do that, highly unlikely, because that's not really part of the circus that sort of happens in the mainstream media and all the people who gets the votes and those sorts of things. But it's an interesting argument. I certainly don't hate it. I did, I did love the Knicks and everything that came out with, Josh Hart, and I can play 48 if you need me to, with Thibodeau and the NY braid into his hair. And then in the background of that shot, you also had Thibodeau's practically bald head leaning straight down. It's like, wow, might be time to give that up, buddy. But just, you're going to do that right in front of Tibbs? Damn, Hart, dang. But look, they're balling. It sort of shows a little bit, and I slept on the Knicks too, early coming into the playoffs and last sort of month and a half coming in. It's like, Knicks are going to nick, but to their credit, they haven't. They've really turned the ship around. They seem genuinely focused. Can they go super deep to the finals? No, I still don't believe so, but do you know how long it's been since they've been to the second round of the playoffs?
I don't, but I'm going to take a wild guess. Mm-hmm. And it would have been like the Carmelo Anthony era when they faced the Heat, right? 2013?
Well, the last time they were in, the last time they lost in the second round of the playoffs. No, sorry, they made the conference. Yep, second round. So conference semis was in 2013. Well done. So, 10 years ago. And then you'd have to go, you've got to go back to, Yowzers. The last time they made the finals was in 99-2000. So they've had one trip to the second round since 2000. Yeah. This is it. So 23 years of Knicks being Knicks.
Hey, but unlike the 76ers, the Knicks aren't scared of the second round of the playoffs. So.
Yes, and you no longer have any, well, not that you have any, but you've shifted on a player who was definitely scared of shooting the basket late in the second and third rounds. So, look, you know, congratulations to the Knicks there. Was it throughout the season I made the comparison that the Kings were like the Knicks of the West? And now, look, they're both, you know, they're both on the, they've made the playoffs after a long, long drought. Looks like the Knicks are going to go a little bit deeper. And Kings, well, we'll get to that. But yeah, look, things are looking up for the Knicks and the Kings, which is nice as a basketball fan. You like these storied franchises to actually be getting somewhere. Do you know how many overall championships the Knicks have ever won?
No.
No. Two.
I was going to say three.
Yeah, just the two. And there's a famous coach out there. I'm sure you can get this one. Famous coach who was a player who won them.
Phil Jackson?
Phil Jackson was part of both of their series wins. Yeah. Yeah. Well done, mate. You did quite well. Did quite well. Good job.
Thank you.
but all right, let's get to let's bump down and let's get to your 76ers and the Nets.
What a beautiful thing.
Not if you're a Nets fan.
You know what? I think the Nets even making the playoffs after everyone wrote them off after their KD trade in itself is amazing. They've got the pieces there to be really, really good for years to come. Mikal Bridges, really great
basketball. And he's been the big standout for that most people have spotted is, you know, people weren't necessarily, you know, now that he's been given a little bit of a spotlight and more of his own situation and room to run, it's like, oh, dang, okay, yeah, all right. A lot of people are signing up for the Mikal Bridges freight train. But, yeah, unfortunately not enough to get it done this time. And they were – it always felt like they were going to be on borrowed time. Their team was gutted a bit, but they've got some bits back. They've got some big-ticket items off the board so that at the very least they can use what they've got to go and get some more and hopefully maybe sign something now that they've gotten rid of the sideshows and, you know, those sort of things out of head office. And that's not – that is not a dig at KD.
No, but – and I think that also shows the impact of distractions in your team. A certain someone went to another team that was in the playoffs and completely derailed that season.
Yeah, look, you know, it's obviously hard to know what's going inside the show, but the Kyrie effect, you know, even in a small sample size, seems to have an effect from the outside looking in. So disappointing. But 76ers move on. 76ers are going to need somebody to play. And there's, well, in my opinion, there's only one team left to do that. But there's another team that has aspirations. So Celtics and Hawks. Celtics are currently up 3-1. You know, look, obviously, as a Celtics fan, I was very happy with today's result. You know, they, as we said, they've gone up 3-1 now. It's looking good. Right, you know, statistically, it's impossible to come back from there. But more importantly, you know, it's a classic Hawks sort of situation at the moment. I think realistically, Trae Young is on borrowed time. I mean, rumors already came out before the playoffs run really even happened that things weren't gelling. There's all sorts of negative things being pushed out there, which normally means a move is coming in the offseason. That's normally a precursor because otherwise, you know, if that's not on the cards at all, then you don't hear any negative. You just hear about charity works and all different sorts of, you know, things like that. So it just feels as if they're getting ready to make some moves. And you know, it's, if you're a Hawks fan, you've been sort of on the cusp And that's the problem with basketball. You want your team to be more than just on the cusp of the playoffs or a middling playoffs run. You want to go deeper. And is that going to work with the current crew? Doesn't seem to have. Or do you run it back for another year and give Coach Quinn Snyder a full season at it? That's potentially a tough show out.
Well, see, the issue is when you're really good, you know that you don't really have to change anything. And when you're really bad, it's pretty obvious what you've got to change.
Everyone will tell you.
And it's when you're mediocre, though, that's the hard thing, because it's very hard to make an accurate assessment of what you actually need when you are mediocre and what the real problem is. Mm. And it may not necessarily be Trae Young, although watching basketball games, it does seem that they win when Trae Young doesn't look to get his own as much and plays that more traditional point guard. But yeah, I think the Hawks did themselves a disfavor in winning that play-in game against the Heat. I think this could be me diving into the rabbit hole, but in a way, I think Miami didn't want to face Boston, and I don't think anyone really wants to face Boston in these playoffs.
No, well, after the Giannis sort of question mark happened, they were then, power ranking style, they were put into that sort of number one sort of position, because obviously, they're rolling, they're running it back, things are looking good, everybody's healthy, coaching issue, which no one was really sure about at the start of the season, has now been resolved and fully, sorted out internally, that kind of stuff. So everything from their point of view is definitely looking up. And it's not fair to, wrap it in a bow and put it around one player's neck or anything like that. But you just get the feeling that, Trae Young is, the very least, the rumor mill is going to be flying and offers are going to be made, and teams, GMs have to listen to those offers. If they're not listening, they're not doing their jobs. And look, it'll be interesting to see what the situation, how that all shakes out. But I think we can both agree that short of some sort of basketball, from my situation, horrible miracle or nightmare happens, Celtics will be going through to take on your 76ers.
And whoever wins that will probably make it another East, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm happy to run with that. Are you happy to put some chicken on the line here? A chicken bet down on the...
Will I actually get some chicken when I win?
When you win? Your team's got to win first, mate. But
I'm willing to put a chicken bet down.
Chicken bet, 12-piece?
Yeah.
Yep, let's do it. All right, 12-piece, chicken wings. Chicken wing, chicken wing. All right. I'm obviously going to take Celtics. You're obviously going to take 76ers outside of however that shakes out, whether it's my Celtics in 4 or 6.
Or the 76ers in 7.
All right. So is that your prediction of how you think this series is going to go?
I think so. I think it will go back and forth a lot, because at the end of the day, they're two very good teams. I think Embiid will have his great games, and he will also have his not so great games when he's whining and he's on the floor more than he's on his feet. Harden's going to have his 20-20 games, but he's also going to have his 10-5 games. But at the end of the day, I think we can push it to 7. And if we get to a game 7, then anything can happen.
Anything can. If you get to a game 7, I think against the Celtics in a proper series, I think you guys will come up a little bit short, in that sense of, Celtics are just super deep, super healthy. Everything's rolling right now. You're of course allowed to disagree, but I think at the moment they're right where they want to be. Last year, especially coming into the finals, it felt like things parted a little bit. We had some injuries. Bucks got some, the Chris Middleton thing. We made things very difficult for ourselves, and we just scraped into the finals, and we came up against an opponent who was just better on across those games. This year it feels like they've, that classic thing of they got a bit of mongrel in them. Everyone's on the same page, and it just feels like they really got something. But then again, when I normally get those feelings, that's when something crazy happens and the team gets wiped out or, something silly. But Yeah, I'm thinking more of a probably more of a six game series. I'm certainly not calling a sweep or anything, you know, ridiculous, because I think that these two teams, they're just too talented for that. I can't see a sweep going either way. I would say six. I'm gonna lock in for Celtics in six, obviously, but I definitely think it'll be a hard fought series, and potentially, especially with the with the offense of the 76ers, there could be a blowout or two, like a 20-25 plus sort of, you know, game, because there is some, you know, obviously some high power on both sides, and if one team's having a tough night and the other team's blowing up, there could be a couple of, and same down the stretch, there could be some tight random out games. So either way, I'm looking very excited to, don't want to count chickens, but 3-1 over Atlanta, heading back to TD Garden. Let's be fairly realistic about how that's going to go. It might take two games, but it's going to happen. Atlanta, when they're shooting and firing, they can run up a whole heap of points on you, but Celtics are going to get through there.
I mean, you've also got to play both ends of the floor. You can't just play offense. You've got to be able to play defense.
Exactly. All right. Let's go west. And look, it's one of those ones. Let's go Nuggies and Timberwolves, start at the top. And it's probably the most, you know, it's that classic thing. A team gets up 3-0, and then what do the commentators say 47 times per game? No team's ever come back from 3-0. You can't do it. Rah, rah, rah. And Timberwolves come back and they win a game. And it's like, I don't care what people say.
We're coming back.
We're coming back. Which, hey, sure. Prove them wrong, mate. Go for it. It's not going to happen, but
I mean, look, if by some miracle Edwards plays his heart out and they don't double post up like they did in game one and two, which is hard to watch, and they somehow do it, then Anthony Edwards will be the greatest player of this generation.
Yeah, and look, that's it. The future of this team is him.
It's not Cat anymore. I think it's a...
He was a stepping stone superstar in that sense.
It's time for him to move on, and for him to get any respect, he has to do something somewhere else.
I think so. I think it's almost a reverse KD situation where, you know, KD moved on and tried to get that respect. Even though he had an amazing, you know, run against LeBron and all these sorts of things, you know, he never quite got it. But because of that, you know, that OKC sort of poo-poo situation of how he came out and, you know, left and went to the other team, which he was within rights to do. Nobody did anything wrong. He was totally okay to do whatever he did. But, yeah, I think for Kat, he needs to go somewhere else and prove what he can do. Maybe it's time for a different system. But from a Minnesota point of view, what they currently have, and I'm happy that I said it at the start of the season, isn't going to work in the postseason. It can be tweaked, it can be changed, but what they currently have just isn't working.
The team is just very dysfunctional from what I like when I look at it. Mike Conley, great pickup, veteran point guard, and I think he to me is like Kyle Lowry in the West, where I just want him to win because he's had such an amazing career, he's defied all the odds, and it hurts for me not to see him win a championship. But I think they keep him, you keep Anthony Edwards, you have some really smart, like good young guys, and then you either get rid of Kat or you get rid of Kat and Gobert at the same time.
Yeah, and look, let's put some respect on the name of Mike Conley. I mean, he is the one-time injury replacement all-star as well. So, that, you know, that stat can't be forgotten. But, yeah, look, Nugs are going through here. Again, up 3-0. Yeah, they dropped one today. They just feel different. They feel like they're destined for much more than a first-round exit. And I just can't see them. I cannot see the Timberwolves coming out. They're down 3-0 as the 8th seed playing the 1. Come on. That's not going
to
happen.
Not to mention Jokic, an MVP candidate, is
again
on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
Kat's guarding him. Gobert's guarding him. And I don't think any of those two can guard. I don't think anyone in the league can really guard Jokic.
No, he's one of those game changer players.
Did you know he's top five in floaters, percentage of floaters? He's got one of the best floaters in the league as a center.
Must be that European diet. Oh, shooting floaters. Gotcha. All righty. Let's move it on to a spicy little one where, funnily enough, someone who over the last four seasons even, hasn't received the amount of love that he really sort of deserved, is kind of still not getting it, but he's not getting as much hate in Russell Westbrook when we look at the Suns and the Clippers. And the reason he's not getting it basically is because, like KD said, it seems to be the fun thing to do to lay crap on the guy at the moment. But the guy's balling out. He's doing everything he can do for the Clippers. There's no Kawhi and there's no PG. They're both injured at the moment. There's apparently no timetable for a Kawhi return. Plus, he's got all of his other family stuff going on at the moment as well. I mean, there's a lot going on there. And what's Russ doing? Everything he can.
And you got a feel for the Clippers, right? They build this team around those two stars. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to win a series when your two stars aren't playing, because your offenses are based around your two stars. Everything's based around them.
Yeah.
And for them,
should rightly be, because that's your whole plan for your entire organization.
And for them to not be there, it really does hurt. And that being said, though, Russ has, I think, shown people that, hey, I'm still a good basketball player. They've been in every one of these games.
Mm-hmm.
All four games, they may be down 3-1. But they've been in every single one of these games.
They definitely have. And look, Suns are going to go through here. That's just the way it's going to be. And look, that'll be an interesting matchup. Nugs, Suns. That's potentially very spicy.
I think it will definitely go to 7. And I'm not.
You're a sucker for 7s in the second round, aren't you?
I am. I think it will go to 7 because people forget that KD is an MVP candidate every year just because of his impact. Now, he may not be statistically dominant, but the impact that he has on other defenses and the space he gives everyone else on his team,
mm-hmm,
to me makes him an MVP.
Well, I was a little bit hesitant with what you initially said, but then you put a couple of asterisks in there and I'll definitely let you have that one, because he commands that respect. You can't just leave him open, because he will beat your team in that sense. Like, you have to send your one, your two best defenders, you know, and even then, sometimes you got to get lucky. Sometimes his toes got to be on the line. That's just the way it goes. So,
looking at matchups, you got probably Gordon guarding KD. Jokic will probably guard Ayton. And then you have both Chris Paul and Devin Booker, who Jamal Murray will guard one of them.
Hmm.
Then you expect that one of them is going to have a big game.
Yeah, look, that is a second round West matchup that I'm really looking forward to. That could potentially be one of the real matchups of this playoff series.
Playoff defining, I think.
Quite possibly. All right, Kings and Warriors. Now this, I called it out last week, this is shaping up to just be, I wasn't the only one who called it out, so, you know, I don't see myself as too much of a soothsayer, but look, Kings and Warriors, it's been everything that everyone sort of wanted it to be, especially with the game today going right down to the line. It was so close. Harrison Barnes, you know, great from the Warriors in that sense of, you know, Kings have the clutch player of the year in De'Aaron Fox. Make sure he can't get the ball. Harrison Barnes gets it, gets up a decent-ish looking shot. It was incredibly close. Could have just, it was only ever so slightly off. That goes in. That completely changes things for that entire series. But you know, at the same time too, you've got the whole, the Draymond thing, him coming back, willing to take a, you know, come in off the bench and things like that. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. He does at times, when he does make these bonehead moves, actually bounce back really well for the team and things. And he's played at that elite level. Do I still love Draymond as a player? No, I'm not a huge Warriors fan in that sense. But was I a huge fan of how silky smooth the Warriors moved the ball around for Clay to get that end of three quarter time buzzer beater? That was gorgeous basketball. That was absolutely stunning stuff. Just a team full of players zipping that ball around, looking for the best opportunity for their team. And that just happened to be a stroke, clutch, Clay corner three, and it was absolutely gorgeous, and they were able to get it done. But if I'm a Kings fan, I'm taking solace in the fact that all Warriors have done is square up this series, and you are right there in it.
Look, I think it's one of those series that will probably go to seven games. They have really similar offenses, purely because Mike Brown was a coach with Steve Kerr, and they run a lot of the similar stuff. Lots of read and react. Very hard to scout because you can have a coverage to defend it, but then if you have the read against the coverage, you know, it makes it tough. And I think it comes down to shot-making ability rather than scouting between these two teams. And it's just one of those series that has been entertaining. Like, all the games are close. Mm. They're super, super competitive. And we're watching a team that's a sixth seed that doesn't feel like a sixth seed.
Mm.
They feel more like a second seed just with the experience that they have.
And that's always the thing that you can't, you know, and that's why, you know, bookies and everything were like, you know, they went in heavy on the Warriors before everything started because of that, you know, experience factor. And it's the Warriors. You know, it takes something incredible to knock them out. I mean, KD and the Raptors. You know, that was an incredible set of circumstances to lead to that situation where the Raptors were then able to take it in the end. But yeah, look, it's been great basketball. I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm liking what I'm seeing. And if I'm a Kings fan, I am certainly not losing hope. All they've done is square it up. And they've squared it up. And you were right there. You're just on the cusp. That Harrison Barnes shot goes in. 3-1. You know, that's huge. And it was close. It wasn't a million miles off. It wasn't clanging off glass. It wasn't, you know, front rimming it or shorting it. It was just a little bit off the back. Tough. But you're right there.
For a fan base that's had so much pain in terms of playoffs, I don't know if it's physical pain, but it's definitely emotional pain. Yeah. If you're a diehard fan with that whole Lakers series and that whole referee debacle, if we want to really get into it.
Do you want to go back to the real fans who've been there for, you know, all of it? Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's really cool to see Sacramento being a really good competitive team.
Against the Golden State Warriors. Yes, towards the, you know, at the end-ish of their, you know, prime or whatever you want to look at it, but they're right there with one of the biggest franchises during one of their biggest runs.
And do you feel like the Kings can make it deep if they advance this series?
If they can get through the Warriors, I think basically yes. I think yes, completely. Because I think if they can get past the Warriors and even just the four games we've had so far, that's going to give them ridiculous amounts of confidence. On the confidence they already have just dragged out of nowhere in belief in themselves and the fight and the push. And looking at Grizzlies, Lakers, you know, yeah, I could definitely see them, you know, really doing something, but they got to get past the Warriors first.
And you know what else is really cool? We talk about this unfound confidence. There's, like, you can see videos of preseason in Sacramento and Mike Brown's running suicide system.
Yep.
He's yelling at them, "Hey, man, like, you can't be slower than me. Mm-hmm. I'm your coach." Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. Like, that's really cool to see because it's, to me, it's a really big shift in culture over there.
Yep. And that's where all of this has, you know, really come from. You know, that whole change, they brought in some pieces, but, you know, that coaching spot and that pure fire of this is where the mark is. If you don't like it, leave. You know, and that accountability, it's one of those things that everyone wants until they get it. And then once they get it, not everyone loves it. But they seem to have embraced it, loving it, and I'm loving the basketball that's coming out of it. So, heck yeah. All right. Grizzlies, Lakers.
LeBron, who?
I think the real takeaway is don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear.
Especially when the bear is the second best player to ever play basketball.
Look, no matter what place you give him at the top of the tree, let's say he's, you know, easy as you like, top five greatest all time.
Easily.
Like I said, low-hanging fruit. We could easily put him in there. No dramas at all in LeBron, of course. The problem with, you know, idiot Brooks running his mouth and doing all this sort of stuff, we've seen this before. Great players take this stuff on the chin. Great players don't have one game where they're great and then five games when they're not. Great players are consistently great. You know, and LeBron has proved when people have come along over his playoff journeys and done this sorts of thing. Let me just put this out there. Dylan Brooks is a great blueprint for a Lance Stephenson sort of situation. Because you look at the Lance Stephenson thing. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who, when you say Lance Stephenson, the only thing they think of is him blowing in LeBron's ear.
I'm nodding, by the way, yep. Everyone listening.
And that, for most people, when you hear the name Lance Stephenson, see the face, that's the first image that comes into your mind. And Lance Stephenson did not have a horrible career. He, if you know, if you were a Lance Stephenson or a Pacers fan before that, or you know, even after that, God bless you. You know, you would have known his career, his stats, his defensive, yada, da, 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 da. But for most people, you just literally become that little snippet and that little moment. And Dylan Brooks, you're going to have to do something pretty spectacular to turn this around because you are now that little moment.
And like, I don't like throwing this term around because obviously if you're in the NBA, you're a very great basketball player. But Dylan Brooks is, I don't know, when I think of Dylan Brooks in my mind, I think of a clown. Like, all the stuff that he's done during the season, all the tech fouls, the suspension, the constant Twitter feuds, the running of the mouth. And it's just like, you're a great basketball player. Just shut up and play.
Prove it on the court. It's the only place that matters.
It's where all the greats have done it. Like, and if you are going to talk smack, you got to be like MJ, where... I don't know if you've heard this story about MJ, but he was at the golf course with one of his mates before a game against Cleveland.
I have, but go on. It's a good one.
He had been drinking and he kept losing and he kept losing the whole day. And then at one point, he's got to go to the arena. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to drop 50 today. And he went and dropped 50. Like, it's if you're going to talk smack or if you're going to talk yourself up, you have to be able to back it up.
Yeah. And that's where basketball players need to be able to do this. It's in these moments, in these games, and you go running your mouth at someone who has the record of LeBron. He didn't make all those finals because he was an average player. Like, yeah, he didn't do it alone, but he steered the ship. And he he didn't need to put in a super huge performance to, you know, really help the Lakers get over the line in that last game. He was able to do it. But one thing I will say, Ja, wow.
Yeah, he was impressive.
He was wildly impressive. To shoot those threes late with that stroke with from that hand, amazing. Absolutely. Now, you know, granted, all he really did in that situation was keep the Lakers, you know, genuinely playing the game for longer. But from if I'm a Grizzlies fan, it's okay. It'll be all right.
We'll lose in five. It's okay.
You're probably losing this series. Yeah, with you know, but your future's okay in this guy if they can just get rid of some of the nuffies, one or two. But Ja, wow. And it's amazing how often, again, you know, like we just talked about, you show these things on the basketball court. What did Ja do? Showed it on the basketball court. Showed grit, determination, got through, got onto the court, all the issues he's having with his hand, stroking it late.
And you know what else doesn't get spoken about enough in this series? The fact that although the Lakers are probably going to win it, Memphis is missing Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, who were two great contributors. Like, they have those two guys in the middle. They're a bit tougher all of a sudden defensively. So it's just one of those things where injuries are probably going to lead to a early first round exit for Memphis.
And, you know, give him a little bit of love too, like AD. He genuinely came back. He bounced back. You know, everyone wants to put this, you know, is he one of the greatest players? Well, he's had a lot of injury issues. Yes, he's Captain Chalk Bones. There was one point where he dunked the ball and my first reaction was he did it so aggressive. It was like, whoa, calm down, old fella. What are you doing? But to his credit, turned it around, had a much better game, like bounced back. That's what the really good players are capable of doing. You know, he needs to stay fit and all sorts of other things, but you know, I'll definitely give him some love in that sense. You know, he bounced back. Haters is another one. Haters want to jump on for obvious reasons, but you know, he genuinely bounced back in that game and really put his hand up for LA, and that's what they're going to need if they're going to go even mildly more than shallow into these playoffs. They need AD and him healthy. AD and LeBron healthy and balling. And everyone else contributing as well.
And I think if the Lakers can beat Memphis in five and the Warriors series goes to seven, then the Lakers are sitting in a really good spot because now all of a sudden you're resting your best players who need rest. So.
Definitely. All right. So let's hit this magical button right here.
Bacon is good for me.
All right, nice, real simple, you know, bacon, basketball bacon takeaway from the week that was. And that was, you know, D Rose getting back on the court and standing ovation in the garden. Like, it was just a really nice moment. Obviously, he's come out and said this will be his final season. He's going to wrap it up. And he's had some ups and downs. He's been everywhere, man. And there's definitely been some things that I've been vocal about over the journey, but you know, that I haven't liked about, you know, choices and different things he's made, different times. But yeah, wow. As a career and different things, I pulled the trigger on a New York Knicks D Rose jersey the other day because looking back at it, you know, all the negative, positive stuff in between, the guy was a baller. And it being his last season, like, yeah, now that jersey was on sale. Like, I'm not a full hero, but you know, it was like, yes, I want a piece of that. Like, you know, after all said and done, he's gonna have had a hell of a career, no matter what round this playoff finishes in for the Knicks. You know, there'll always be that question mark of what could have been. Had he not blown out that knee, but
same easy Hall of Famer though.
Yeah, you would have easy to imagine. Hall of Famer. Should be first ballot.
Without a doubt.
MVP. Just, you know, the sheer amount of love he was able to get in Chicago with Joakim Noah and, you know, those what would eventually come up short runs. But and then his different times in different places and his times with Coach Tibbs too, like chase that guy everywhere. But yeah, a little bit of D Rose love. I've come around to it. No longer shaking angry man shaking fist at cloud. I'm down. I'm okay. I get it. All good.
Do we have some room on the grill for a little bit more bacon?
If you got some more bacon, mate, I've always got room on the griddle.
The pregame between Westbrook and KD when they were bros again, mm-hmm. that was really cool because that really showed the side of basketball that a lot of people don't see, and that's the competitors on the court but best friends off the court. Mm.
And I'd double down on that and say the KD CP3 presser afterwards as well, where they genuinely, you know, gave respect and talked about Russell's hustle in that sense. Like, you know, put it, they're both former teammates of him, but they both, you know, gave him love and talked about, you know, that side of things, which again, at the moment, it's the fun thing, as KD said, to not. So, all right, now it is time for some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em.
Let me get my script really quick.
No script, baby. Fresh pack. Where do we want to go, buddy? Where do we want to go? I've got two options for you. I've got a 2020-2021 Chronicles, or I've got a 22-23 Don Russ. Where do you want to go?
I'll tell you what. Let's go with the one that gives me the most skips.
I'll hit you with the Don Russ. I'll hit you with the Don Russ then. If you're looking for skips, then Don Russ is your action.
And I'll tell you what, viewers, you can beat me in Crack'em.
Tell you what, it is a 15 card pack, so a big pack. But look, since you're here on your own, look what I'll do. I will give you let's go. What do we reckon? Three?
Sure, why not?
Three. I'll give you three skips. If you're just not feeling it, I'll let you tap. How's that sound? Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Let's go. All right. First card. During 2021, somebody consistently helped his team get out to strong starts. The all-star forward averaged 5.9 points in the first quarter of games, most on the Knicks. Staying near that pace in the following periods.
Ding, ding.
Yeah.
Randall.
Julius it is. Randall. Well done. First one out the gate. One Julius Randall. Nice hit. All righty. Next card. Most teams dream of having someone like somebody, a multiple-time All-Star coming off the bench. The only franchise that managed to turn that dream into reality is the Heat. When Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry need a breather, the veteran steps in and contributes at a high level. Oh. Number four for the Heat.
Oh, Victor Oladipo.
Victor Oladipo. Good.
Was he an All-Star?
Multiple time. Hmm. Somebody is by far the league's top scorer from the mid-range. In 2021-22 season, the All-Star sank 184 field goals from 10 to 14 feet away from the basket. Only six other players reached the triple digit makes from that zone, including second place finisher Kevin Durant with 162 for the Chicago Bulls.
Ah, DeMar DeRozan.
Well done.
I was very much so between Booker and DeRozan. And I just didn't know. I didn't
needed more
conference.
Team. Yeah. Somebody helped turn the Nuggets franchise around, something he can do once and again after being traded to Washington. I came there. We were not good. These are the exact words. We did not have a good culture, he told the Denver Post. To see where it is now and know that I played a heavy role in that can't be more rewarding.
Ish Smith?
Not Ish Smith. Was number five for Denver and now in Washington.
I'm going to skip this.
Skip. Oh, Will Barton. Will Barton. Tough out. All right. Next one. With multiple teammates out, somebody logged a season best 40 minutes on April 1st, 2022. The Guards stepped up and scored 26 to engineer a win over OKC. I was proud of the way somebody played, said coach Dwayne Casey. I thought he showed a lot of leadership and a lot of play at both ends of the floor. For the Detroit Pistons.
Detroit Pistons. Killian Hayes.
Killian Hayes. Well done. Not bad, mate. Four from five thus far. You're on fire.
Yeah.
So far. Somebody has always been a consistent contributor. Since appearing in 81 contests as a rookie in the 07-08 season, the big man has helped his squads dance into the playoffs 13 times, entering 2022-23 season with 940. The veteran big man has an excellent chance of reaching 1,000 career starts. Mr. Universe for the Celtics.
The Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Al Horford.
Al Horford. Yes, sir. Next card. While 2022 wasn't a leap year, somebody managed to take flight anyway on February 28th. The forward ended the shortest month with a bang by putting up 24.6 rebounds, 2 assists. His all-round performance helped Sacramento pick up a road victory over Oklahoma City. So for the Sacramento Kings.
Buddy Hield.
Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles. Let's try that one.
Canadian.
Somebody frequently sets up wide open buckets without touching the ball. A brick wall to opponents. He sets punishing picks that give his teammates ample space for a shot or a slash. In 2021-22, the all-star forward averaged 5.5 screen assists, second in the NBA behind Rudy Gobert.
Draymond Green.
Who did he stomp on?
Who did he stomp on? Oh, my. Oh.
Draymond Green stomped on this player.
Goodness. You know when it's like right there and you just
yes,
get it?
I know. It's right there in front of me.
Well, it's right on my tongue too.
What happened to this script you had, mate? Come on.
Yeah, well, it's part of the script.
DeMontis.
Oh, yeah, Sabonis.
Can't give you that one. Sorry, buddy. Cannot. Just can't do it. Just
four
can't
of seven
it.
Now.
All right. Next card. Sacramento fans got a good taste of somebody on Jan 5, 2022. The wing guided his Hawks to a road victory by tallying 25 points, 11 rebounds, and a steal off the bench. Traded there during the following offseason, he will now produce similar outings for a much more welcoming crowd.
I want to skip this one.
Skip. Kevin Huerta from the Hawks to the Kings. Kevin Huerta.
He had a great season from the three-point line too.
Tricky one.
I got one more skip.
Facing Sacramento on March 30, 2022, somebody flashed impressive defense off the pine. The shifty wing became the fifth rookie in franchise history to record at least 5 steals as a reserve. The first since Roderick Rhodes in 1997. He rounded out his historic night with 5 assists and 5 boards.
Can I get a hint on who he plays for?
I'll give you the team and the number. Houston Rockets, number 9. Doesn't have a last name. Has 2 first names instead of a last name.
Is it Kenyon Martin Jr.?
No, it's Josh Christopher.
Ah.
Good try, though. Like, you steered in. Oh, interesting. All right. Although he's left-handed, somebody does everything right. Making perfect passes and taking smart shots, the stellar southpaw is a player every team would love to have running the offense. giving a helping hand throughout the 2021-2022 season. He helped the Jazz make the playoffs for the sixth straight season.
Mike Conley.
Well done. Yes, sir. It is indeed Mike Conley.
I still can't believe he got traded before the game, the team that they were playing that day.
Look, fun stat. Fun stat. All right. It didn't take long for somebody to gain the trust of his teammates and coaches during his 2021-2022 debut campaign. The young floor general averaged 60.8 touches per game that ranked fourth among rookies with at least 10 games played. And the other three behind were Josh Giddey, Cade Cunningham, and Scotty Barnes. For the Magic. There's only one guy that fits that bill.
I'm having one of these blank moments.
Yes.
He was a big college star.
Mm-hmm.
I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
He's a righty.
Building. He's building.
He's a righty. Went to Gonzaga, I believe.
Sounds correct. Sounds correct.
See, I know the guy. I just don't know his.
I'll give you the initials, JS.
Oh, Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Suggs got there. Nice refractor style. Green refractor, I believe.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Shame very for nice Jalen that Mikel Fultz is now playing basketball the way Philly wanted him to.
All right. Just a couple left. Here we go. A conjurer of the greatest skill. Somebody brings forth magical plays that astound the crowd, passes come out of nowhere, shots fall from impressive angles, and the stellar showman does it all with flash and dash that sends the audience to its feet, serenading the playmaker with raucous cheers. A number nine card, a magician's card for the Hornets.
For the Hornets, LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball it is indeed. All right, into the rookies. We've got two rookie cards. With respect to the unicorn that is Chet Holmgren, somebody might be Oklahoma's most intriguing prospect. The number 11 pick in the 2022 draft breaks traditional molds with his ability to bring the ball up the floor and facilitate while standing at just a tick under 7 foot. Number 13 for the Thunder. A rated rookie card. Nice little card, that one.
Darius Bazley.
Usman Dieng.
Oh, the Breakers.
OKC. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was a tick under 7 foot.
Yeah, with the hair, maybe. All right, last card. The Lakers obviously value their veterans, obviously, especially this year. In 2021-22 season, 12 players with at least 10 years of experience took to the floor for LA. Somebody will mix things up with a fresh face and a youthful punch. He entered the league as a 19-year-old and looks the part with jump out of the gym hops. Number 10 for the Lakers.
I can feel Aaron just like...
Oh, yeah, he'd be all over this.
Somewhere.
And awkwardly, I don't think he's willing you to get it right.
Number 10 for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Two first names, once more. M and C. It's a tricky one.
No, I'm going to have to skip.
No, skip. Last skip. Book it in. Max Christie.
Yeah, no.
Wouldn't have got that one?
Would not have got that one.
All right. That brings our local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em to an end. Mate, you did all right. You did all right. What do we have there in the end? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, look, 8. That's over half. That's better than most, mate. That's better than most. If you're out there thinking, I could do better than that, feel free to send us a line here at Ball Don't Lie Australia. Send it to... send it in as I can probably do better than Steph. I will definitely double stuff my Oreo when I come on the show. Look, you know, feel free to reach out if you think you can do better. It's not as easy as it looks or sounds when you're actually in the hot seat, though, is it, Steph?
No, it's not.
No. But,
and I'm telling that to you too, by the
way. But great cards once again, with huge thanks out to the local card shop of Woolloongabba. And don't forget, the local card shop of Mermaid Beach is up and running, fully open. Grand opening has already happened, and the card yard that is right next door, the beer garden right next door to the card shop, is also open. So get down there, grab yourself a delicious beverage and pop in and see the guys. Tell them Mal from Ball Don't Lie sent you. Absolutely banger setup they've got going at Mermaid Beach, just across the road from the Coles, which is a very handy spot to park and walk across the road. So huge thanks to the local card shop for their ongoing support. But, mate, that's going to wrap up our NBA show.
Very sad. I was having a great time.
Oh, well. Well, we might get you back again real soon then.
Hopefully. Maybe this time as a friend of the show.
Whoa, easy talks. You know, it's, we decide who the friends are. Like, you know, you don't just force that upon somebody.
I don't mind being forever the guest of the show.
Well, it's a solo tag. You're the only, you know, guest of the, and it's with respect as well.
It's okay. I'm used to it. I'm rare. One on one.
Well, just keeps firing the card gags. Well done. Awesome. All right, guys, that's going to wrap us up here. Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of Ball Don't Lie Australia. Please do jump on the socials and give us those likes and follows and things. We did hit the 600 followers just the other day. Thank you very much on Instagram. Thank you to everyone who's done that. And if you haven't done that already, please do go jump on as we march towards 700. But, you know, until you're listening to us here again, just remember that ball don't lie.
Never does.